Well, good evening, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to see Brother Davis and Sadari with us today. And good to see them in our fellowship today. And we just want to continue to pray for Randy. And God is good. Amen. We want to continue to pray for him that he may continue to do better, as well as Brother Smith and all the sick and the shut-in. Sister Joshua and all the sick and the shut-in, especially those of the household of faith. Well, today is a big day. It's not going to occur for another 88 years. 12, 12, 12. Been talking about it all day. 12, 12, 12. December 12th, 2012. 12th month, 12th day, 12th year. 12, 12, 12. World been talking about it all day. Heard one man say, the number 12 been found 186 times in the Bible. He know that, but he don't know what he must do to be saved. Amen. He went as far as say 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, and he went on and gave explicit explanation of the importance of the number 12. My thought was, I'm just glad to see it. Amen. So to God we give all the glory. Let's go to John 12 tonight. We want to begin in John 12 and continue our study together. Again, John 20 and 31. John 20 and verse 31. We talked about many other signs truly that Jesus and the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God, and that believing you may have life through his name. That's the whole purpose of writing this great book, John, as well as Matthew, Mark, Luke, that they might believe, even though that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I got Mark verse 33. I guess it was somewhere else. 1133. Okay, that's where I got Mark. 1133. That's where I got Mark. Okay. I'm looking at the Wilson sister. She's looking kind of funny. I want to verify, my husband verified it. When you help me verify, you know you're right. Verse 33, that's where we are. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit of his attitude, and he was troubled, the human side of Jesus, and said, where have you laid him that said to him, Lord, come and see? And Jesus wept. One of the few times you're going to see Jesus weeping. Sometimes we men so macho. Sometimes we men, we're just so macho, we don't want to see us weeping. But we need to weep. Amen. If Jesus wept, we can weep. We need to be weeping at this world that we're living in. Amen. With Ezekiel on last Sunday morning. Amen. And the importance of the urgency of the matter in relationship to the need that's going on with people who are dying around us, dead in sin. So Jesus wept, we need to weep also. And I thought I'd just say that. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have called that even this man should not have died? Still didn't understand. And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself coming to the grave, and was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, I want you to see, when Jesus say, we need to listen, amen. See, when Jesus commands us to do something, in spite of how odd it may be, or in spite of what it may be against the norm, or it may be against, that's not politically correct, but when Jesus say something, we need to obey, amen. We need to do what Jesus tells us to do. So the Bible says in verse 99, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, say I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou would see the glory of God. I want you to underline that. See, in conjunction with what Jesus is saying, just believe, just trust in me. When you believe and trust, you obey. See, thou would see the glory of God. Of God. You know, sometimes when you think about that and understand what he's saying there in relationship to belief, You know, a lot of people say they believe in Jesus. A lot of people say they love Jesus. A lot of people say they keep his commandments. But faith without works is dead. And the point to be made is this here. When we have true faith, go to Hebrews 11, 1 right quick, and then we'll come back. Hebrews 11, 1, and let me make an explanation of what he's saying here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, he talks about faith. See, faith, belief. See, belief, see, when you believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. But belief goes a little bit further in order to be in compliance with the will of God. Because in Hebrews 11, 1, he tells us that faith is. See, faith is the substance, and then I know where substance, of things hoped for. Brother Brown went that Sunday night, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that your temple is, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In relationship to Colossians 3, 16, he went there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so it can teach you, so you can admonish. So that substance there, faith is substance, that word that's there that calls you to believe and obey and trust God so that one day we may see the glory of God. See, the problem with the world is no substance there. The problem with people who are not obedient, they may have a tangible faith of belief, but it's not belief strong enough that when God tells you to do something, you're going to do what God tells you to do. It got to be something there within the temple, see, through study, or 2 Timothy 2:15, by letting the word of Christ dwell in us, that caused that mindset to make us hear God's word and obey God's word so that we may see the glory of God. That's another point. See, that's the importance. You know, we've been studying the book of James on Sunday morning, and that word is so important that we count, that we consider, that we think, that we reckon the word of God so that that belief can grow. See, that it may continue. Affliction to joy, that we may work out our salvation. Because see, what good is faith? It's a dead faith. The devil believed, but he trembled. Agrippa said, you remember he said, I almost died what? Persuaded me to be. He believed, but that belief wasn't good enough to make him what? Comply. And that's the same thing with people in the world today. That people say they know him, people say they believe in him, but it's no substance there that caused that mindset to be transformed. See, that mindset got to be transformed. Romans 12:1-2, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it comes about because you have a strong faith. One more scripture. Go to me in the book of Romans, chapter 1. He talked about that again in Romans chapter 1. See, in Romans chapter 1, one of my most favorite scriptures here, Romans chapter 1, he talks about that. In Romans 1, and beginning in verse number 16, he talks about, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. See, the power of God through the word that caused us to see the glory of God. That's what caused us to see the glory of God. It's the power of the word. Amen. The power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Well, how do you know you're right? From faith to faith. It's a growing faith. It's not a dead faith. It's a maturing faith. James 3:2 says it caused you to be a perfect man. It caused you to be complete. That's faith, amen. It's substance. See, faith starts off small. See, as newborn babe desires to submit of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. But that faith grow every day that we would let the word of Christ dwell in us. Amen. Because the whole point is that we want to see the glory of God. See, a lot of times people say, I believe. Well, do you believe? See, I believe. Well, do you believe? See, you know a tree by its what? You know that. It's just that simple. See, it's revealed. How's it revealed? By the life that we live. See, people see faith in our life. People see whether we abide by the life that we live. Amen. It's just that simple. From faith to faith. Same thing. See, if there's no gas in the car ain't gonna move. It got to be something there. Amen. See, I talked to Brother David. I've been laughing about that the other day. He said, man, he said, I just got to eat me a sandwich. And boy, it made me feel so good. And he said, I'm going to sit on the porch. You know, I said, boy, that was a good sandwich. See, because you want to sit on the porch. Well, it was substance, wasn't it? See, it's substance, see? See, that's what good food will do for you, amen. See, well, that's what the Word of God got to do. See, it's revealed from faith to faith. See, faith will cause us to be righteous through the power of the Word of God, amen. But it's got to be through His name. That's the reason why He said that God going to be glorified. See, that's the only way we can glorify God, by our belief, by our faith. Not any faith, but thy faith. See, not any faith, but thy faith. See, it's revealed from faith to faith. As is written, He said, the just shall live by what? Faith. See, move the stone. Well, my brother been in the grave for 4 days. See, that's not the point. I say, move the stone. You understand? People say, well, you in the Church of Christ, well, why do y'all use instrumental music? But ain't nobody in it. If it's in God's word, that's fine. Amen. Amen. Anything from Genesis to the book of Revelation, regardless of what it says, long as in the word of God and God speaking, we got to what? Obey. We got to what? We got to believe and we got to obey. See? And that's what He's talking about in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. See? So you go back to what He's saying here again. He said, you believe that thou should see the glory of God. And that's the point that I want to make. The only way that we're going to let people see God in our life is that we got to have a strong faith, a maturing faith. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Then look at verse 41. He said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. And Jesus lifted up His eyes. He says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast, look at the tense that's being used, sent Me. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes when you read the Bible and you look at the language that the Holy Spirit uses, see, like it was a past tense, future tense, see, present tense. See, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's always in the future tense. I come to seek and save that. See, that He sent Me. What do you think that the Holy Spirit is talking about when He's talking about He sent Him? I come that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. You hear the language that the Holy Spirit used? See, just that phrase right there. What do they think, or why do they think that God sent them into the world? You ever think about that? In relationship to scheme of redemption, a purpose, a will? Did He come to establish many, many different denominations? Or did He come to the point where we can say it makes no difference what church we go to or attend the church of your choice? I mean, when you write the divine God word, what language, what understanding do you get? You ever thought about that? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it always shoots the tense. Because see, the Old Testament, He's coming, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see, He's coming. And then Acts, He has come, right? So you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get us to think in relationship to understanding the will of God. You see what I mean? Because see, if you listen to the world, well, it makes no difference how we believe or what we believe in or when will we believe. Because they say, God know my heart. Don't they say that? Oh, He put it up on my heart. You understand what I'm saying? Look what He says before I go to Brother Hampton. He said, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it that they may believe. that they may know, that they may understand why God the Father sent me. Not Mohammed, not the Pope, but me, Jesus. You understand? See what I'm talking about? See, this is how I know, brethren. I know the church is right, amen. I know 1 John 5:13 is right. These things were written that we may know. I know that. Because it fulfills the will of God. Amen. But you just got to have that substance there. You just got to have that belief there. You got to understand how faith that when God speaks, hey, you got to listen. And you got to obey. Go ahead, Terry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's it. That's right. That's it. That's it. Well, it's the wrong faith. See, there are many faiths. Amen. Like in Jesus' time, there were many different sects. How we know that? You remember over in Acts 18? With John the Baptist? You remember that? He said, you see the Holy Ghost? How? We hadn't even heard about it. Until what baptism were you what baptized unto? So we knew that there were many sects. Like even today, there are many faiths. But there's not but one faith. See, the same thing today. If I go to Randy, see, that's the same thing. Go back to what you just said. Go to Ephesians right quick. And see, this is what they fail to do. Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about that. Beginning in verse 4. See, what he does, He lays the groundwork of Jesus Christ coming based on will. Because Ephesians 1:4 is that according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame for him in love, having predestinated us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasures. Look at that phrase he said, of his will. See? And then drop down to chapter 3 in verse 10. See, in chapter 3 and verse 10, see 10, 11? 2, 3, 10. He said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. But look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? And then go to chapter 5, okay? And then verse number 17. See, and this is the point. And this because of a dead faith or no faith or the wrong faith that people don't understand what is the will of the Lord. So you can be in the body and still have a dead faith or a wrong faith. You know why that come about? Because you don't understand what is the will of the Lord. Anytime you take this book and you quench the spirit, or you go antagonistic toward the spirit, or you go in an argumentative manner toward the spirit, you violate the will of God. You know what I just said? Because you don't understand. Because see, it's not but one way, John 14:6. It's not but one will. It's not but one purpose. Despite of what I want to say, I can't change God's word to fit me. You can't do it. See, it's like we talked about. I'm going around. It's like we talked about. You go back and study your Bible. Okay, the book. And you look at apostolic doctrine. And you look at the early church and look at what they did. Now, if we're going to continue in the apostle doctrine and the fellowship and breaking the bread, the only thing we got to follow is the book. We ain't got nothing else. Either we follow by command, or you follow by example, or it's inferred. What it means by it's inferred is like Acts 20:7. It says up on the first day of the week, see, disciples came together to break bread. Well, you can do it any time on the first day of the week, as long as you do it on the first day of the week. Right? See, so what I'm saying is, you got to understand what is the will of the Lord. So go back to what I'm saying. And you go back and look at what the early church did from house to house, dead, from house to house, dead, in the temple, in the house to house, and follow the language. You can't find that on the Lord's day that they didn't have multiplicities. They only had one service. Right? So when you go to 1 Corinthians 11 and look at the language the Holy Spirit used when the whole church come together in one place, see, for that purpose, that's what we did. We came together that time to do our 5 hours of worship. You say, well, the argument wouldn't be. Well, it wasn't no argument because it wasn't no another service. That lady was at it. You with me? But it still don't take away from purpose. Because that's what we're striving to do, right? We're striving to lean or comply to apostolic doctrine. That's all we got. So when you go to Ephesians 5:17, he said, wherefore be ye unwise. What caused a person to be unwise? They don't study. They don't count. They don't grow. Sin. That's the main reason, sin. Sin blocks the seed from penetrating. You talked about that, didn't you? In your sermon, didn't you? See, you talked about that, how the seed. You went to Mark 4, didn't you? He talked about that. That's a great sermon. So how the seed fall. See, the seed got to fall in good soil. So you what? Can be wise. You don't want to be unwise. Why? Because you want to understand what is the will of the Lord. See, he said that they might believe. He said, Father, I pray that they might believe. Why? So that we can glorify you. That's the only way we can glorify you. See, this miracle getting ready to be done here to bring Lazarus back from the dead, been dead 4 days, wasn't just to be done, just to be doing something. It had a purpose behind it. Everything in the book has a purpose behind it. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written for a time, written for our life. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's written for a purpose. In order to fulfill that was preordained, that we might be predestined as children, amen. Heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. We couldn't be heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ if Jesus wasn't the head of the church. Y'all thought about that? See, how in the world are you going to say somebody as your head, but you want the benefits of Jesus Christ? That don't make no sense. Go ahead, Randy. Yes. But you feel wrong. Exactly. That's the point. Wrong faith. That wrong stuff. Right. Like you knew it. That's it. That's right.
That's right.
That's even when the Lord had to knock him down. The Lord had to cause him to be blind to make him realize you can't kick against the prick. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's the same thing. So the castle bearer made a statement. It ain't in the Bible, but it makes sense. She says, you got to defrost and get all that out of you and let the new stuff come in. See, you ever made soup, clean the refrigerator out? All the old stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, them peas and carrots been in there for 4 or 5 days. Make you a big old pile of soup. See, the rest in the refrigerator been seasoned. Am I right about it? It makes them the best soup. Got 2 or 3 neck bones left over in there that you wouldn't eat anyway. Got a wing still sitting in the corner. Huh? Man, you talking about a pile of soup. You just throw everything you got over in there. Man, that's good eating. Because it's already been in the refrigerator 4 or 5 days. It's seasoned. See? You ate a meal, and then the leftover tastes better than the meal. See, like some good old butter beans. You let them sit in the refrigerator and eat them the next day. It's good. Am I right? The point to be made is, see, what he just said. See, the seed ain't going to penetrate. A dead faith, a non-working faith, a vain faith, that kind of faith is a useless faith. Because the seed can't penetrate. See, when you come, even today in the church, with a preconceived idea, that's what the devil has done. Over in Acts 20, when Paul talked about when I depart, grieve will in and not span afar, speaking perverse doctrines. See, what the devil has done, the devil has messed people's minds up with false doctrine and with error. And you play with that stuff so long that it's hard to get out your system. You understand what I'm saying? To the point that he'll send you a strong delusion to make you to believe a lie. See, that's the danger of not, and Sean talked about one when he preached, not transforming. See, this you do every day, man. You look in the mirror every day, and you make the changes. See, since last Sunday, we should have been making some changes, am I right? Because we all have sin, amen? None of you count it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, if you don't do it every day through examination, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and make the change, I don't care who it may be, people, family members, situations, anything that besets you, you need to get rid of it. Because see, if you don't, what you're going to do, it's going to dilute your good faith. Then when it dilutes your good faith, sooner or later, bad faith is going to take over. See, and that's when your mind get all messed up. See, and I'm going to show you. See, ever wrong with the world. Let me tell you something. How in the world, 30 years ago, we can believe that homosexuality was just awful? They stayed in the closet. If they were, you didn't know it. Am I right? It was an abomination. It was wrong. Committing adultery was a bad thing. See, shocking was a bad thing. So a long time ago, even in the denomination church, if a young girl got pregnant, they put you out of the church. Why? It was such a bad thing. You understand what I'm saying? But now, because we our mindset so messed up, we become so permissive, we accept anything, to now, you know, I used to watch TV a long time ago and saw 2 men kiss. I said, ooh. Now, you know, and you say, because you see it so much. It's still nasty. Because, see, we begin to accept it, and then when you don't have no substance there to fight against it, then you're agreeing with these people. Your good faith gone. It's diluted. Because, see, you ain't got nothing to pick it back up, and that's the point. Go ahead, my brother. Purpose. Remember. That's it. 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 Well, you know what about the devil? The devil got a mindset. You know, from the beginning of time, when he caused Adam and Eve to fall, and the promise was made that Jesus would come back. Well, from that point on, his whole plan was to stop the seed from coming. He lost that battle. Because he did come, right? Galatians 4:4. Well, he didn't give up. Or he hadn't given up. Because he know that long as time is on his side, that he has the power. Because people are ignorant. They don't have understanding. They fail to study. They don't know. They don't abide. They don't keep God's word. He know that all those people are in his vineyard. So he know he's going back to hell at the end of time, right? So what the devil do know that, well, I might not can stop the church from being established, but what good is the church if those in the church are lost? I mean, what good is the church going to do you? Or what good is the church going to do me if I'm sitting up in the church and I'm wrong? I don't understand. I don't comply. You understand what I'm saying? The church ain't doing you no good. You understand what I'm saying? See, the word of God is not a deterrent. See, we make the word of God difficult. But it's not. We the difficult one. Because we want our will versus God's will. So what I'm saying is, the devil still is that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil is and still destroying lives. And he know, as long as he can take this from us, and we don't count, we don't consider, we don't examine, we don't continue, and we don't grow because we have no faith, he don't want. Amen. See, he don't want. Because the church ain't no good. I'm telling you, man, the church is no good when sin is in the camp. See, if you don't believe me, what that man name over there in Jeremiah? Who? Achan. See, you don't believe me? Ask Moses. Moses never did go into the promised land. Never did go. And you can give many, many more examples. See, and that's the reason why I'm saying, see, go back to what you said, Sean. You said, well, these people here, these people, they just didn't believe. They just didn't know. How you going to believe something you don't know? The reason why I said they didn't know, you remember when I asked chapter 1, when Jesus getting ready to swim back to heaven, His own apostles. Been with him for 3 years. They looked at him and said, well, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? They still didn't understand about the kingdom. Y'all remember that? They still thought the kingdom was going to be a physical kingdom. Like today. See, we want to make the church a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Amen? See, we want to make it to satisfy lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We want to make the church big buildings, to things to do in the church, entertainment. That ain't the church. See? I'm looking for a church home. See? What kind of youth program they got? What kind of sing adult program they got? What kind of ministry they got? They ain't said, is they teaching truth? Is truth being preached? Is the members faithful? Amen? That's what I'm looking for. Like sometimes men look for wives. They look, oh man, she's fine. Oh man, she really got it going on. Don't ask a question, can she cook? Who is she? Where she come from? Who her mama is? Who her daddy is? See, that's what you need to be looking at, right? Huh? I'd rather do that with a woman that ain't so pleasant looking, but at least she know I cook some beans. Amen? Shake your head, man. See, you live long enough, pretty gonna go away. If you don't believe me, I can show you a picture at home. Past and present. I gotta go back. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, and that's the point that I'm saying. See, you got to build that faith. Who had the hand up? Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's it. That's it. But see, principles. See, you don't have to be a spiritual person to have principles. You can stand up for what's right. See, you can know that's wrong. See, the ability to be able to discern. See, it's called respectability. See, people respected people. See, we respected people's homes, respected people's property. We taught our children. We brought them up to respect. See, yes, sir, no, sir. It was that mindset, man. You understand what I'm saying? But when they came to the school system and said, well, we're going to take away discipline. We're going to say this here. Teachers can't corporal punish a child. You remember teachers a long time ago? I remember one time we had a second grade teacher, Miss Three, and I still ain't figure out how she knew how to do that. She'd be writing on the bulletin board, and we'd be back there talking. She would never look around, but she'd throw a race and hit us in the head with it. And you go home and you say, Mama, Miss Three threw a razor and hit me in the head. She said, I'm going to knock you out too. She didn't go back to that school to try to have Miss Three fired. She thanked Miss Three for disciplining me or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? You ever been down the street and they'll say, I'm going to tell your mama on you. Matter of fact, I'm going to knock you out first. Then I'm going to tell your mama. You got two whippings. You remember that? Because we had principles. See, people knew right from wrong. But now, because we lack authority, people don't respect people no more. See, we don't respect the word. See, we don't have respectability. Children nowadays, you're in the school system, they will cuss you out just as quick as you don't, they will. Little children. See? And they'll fight you, you let them. And you better not fight them back. But you got to go through this board, this board, this board. By the time you go through all them boards, so I ain't going to do it. I'm going to let him just cut and do what he want to do. That's what's happening. And then it starts at the top. When you got a president that will stand up and tell you that he believed that that relationship could be between two men or two ladies. That's what he said on TV. He's a leader. What do you expect? What's wrong with the world? We live in a world today where they say, well, the United States is changing. No more morals, no more, no more respectability. We letting gay rights and women rights and all these rights. See, the devil's building 2016 up for Hillary. That's a violation of the principles of a God. She can't have that position, right or wrong. So what do we expect? That's the point, brethren. If you don't understand what we're saying, brethren, about that faith to faith, how is it revealed, how the righteous is revealed from faith to faith, if you're not growing your faith, you're not developing your faith, you're not being a husband that's teaching your children respectability, I mean, uniting as one and building a strong relationship, you will get caught up in this world. And this world ain't nothing to play with. This world will hurt you. Amen? See, let me read. I got 3 minutes, but let me read this right quick. Because I got to say this, and then I stop. I want to get to 43. So, at 43, he said, when he had thus spoken, he cried, and with a loud voice, he said, everybody come forth. What did he say? What did he say just last week? Everybody would have came forth. He had to specify. See, Jesus had the power to raise all the dead, right? But he didn't want to raise all the dead. He don't want to raise one dead. Huh? See, Jesus came back. He went there, Mary, Martha, all right. He said, everybody dead, get up. Everybody would have got up. But the Holy Spirit had to specify. Will, purpose. Heard Otis one time teaching this class. And Otis did that a long time ago. And that's always stuck with me. You know why it stuck with me? It showed you that God is specific. The word of God is specific. Like you went to Genesis 2, 16, 17 and gave the example. He gave Adam and Eve the example. God has never been a God, been a loose God. Whenever God delegates, he delegates in a specific way. And the reason why, because he has a purpose for doing it. He just don't do things just to be doing it. I don't have no proof in it. I don't have no authority in it. I don't have no purpose in it. Everything in the book has a purpose. And that's our responsibility, folks, to study, to understand what that purpose, so we can understand what is the will of God, so we may glorify our Father in heaven. You with me? See, the only reason why he raised Lazarus from the dead for only one reason, that they might believe. If that wasn't the point, he never would have done it. The only reason why the Holy Spirit put 4 days there, because the Holy Spirit didn't have to say nothing. I don't think the Holy Spirit could have said, well, he just did. To show you the power of God. God can do anything. See. But he had to have a purpose. See, people do things in religion now, don't have no purpose, they just do them. Don't make no sense, just do them. See? You ever been to that website, ACANET? Type that in sometime and go look at it. And you look at all the permissiveness, www, it's a Church of Christ website, ACANET. Go there and look at all the things that are going on in the churches throughout the United States. It'll make you shake your head. See, we're permissiveness. Things that are creeped in the church, that they are doing in the church, that violates purpose. And then you wonder why people's minds are messed up? Why faith can't work? Why that seed you talk about over in Mark 4 can't penetrate? How gonna penetrate when so many other things violates the principles? It ain't gonna happen. See? It's something. All right, next week, go ahead, bro. That's right. That's it. That's right. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Go to the Book of Numbers. See how many people they started with. And see how many people got into the promised land. See. You know why? Because mind is a terrible thing to mess with. The mind is funny. You didn't know that? See, the mind of choice, that's crazy. See, if we didn't have choice, it wouldn't be so bad. But see, it's choice is you see one way, right? And then it may be five, six, seven other ways you can do it. They all make it seem right. But they ain't all right. Because see, the only right way to do it is the way the book tells you to do it. But the end result, see, a lot of times people look at the end result. See, it's just like this holiday. See, you can tell people, don't get caught up in it, don't get caught up in it, don't get caught up in it, don't get caught up in it. I was telling Sister Dawn the other day, she gave me something, a little eyeglass thing. You gave me to it, and I used it till I couldn't use it no more. But she gave me one the other day. And I guess she got tired of me pulling out my shirt tails and my coat pocket, doing this here with toilet paper. She gave me one. Just something to clean your glasses off. That's all it was. I told my wife, that I appreciated more than if she could have gave me something that cost $50. Because that's what I needed. I use it every day. I keep it on my console. You understand what I'm saying? See, people get all wrapped up in something, you know, that don't even matter. But see, when since Thanksgiving they've been talking about Black Friday and this Friday and this Friday and this Monday and this Monday, and you get your mindset, and then you don't have no understanding there to kick it back, you're gonna get caught up in it too. But the devil ain't gonna tell you January gonna come around. See, he ain't gonna let you see that far. See, the mailman gonna keep running. See, simply because our faith to faith is not growing. It's like Randy said, see, sometimes you think you know everything. Somebody can't tell you what's wrong with cheer nowadays. They think they know everything. That's why they don't fear. They're not afraid. See? Y'all remember your mama said, you better not go in that room. So me and Dad are going, you better not go in that room. And I don't know how mama knew when she got back if we went in there. But nowadays we got to put locks on doors. Our own bedroom door. Got to lock it up. Got to lock everything up. Because you tell children don't do it, they're going to still do it. Not that you can knock them out. They can be knocked out for a little while, but they'll jump back up and do the same thing. It's just that mindset. Sean, they were going on in school today. See? All right, we out of time. I appreciate you. That's a good lesson. Woo! Thank God for truth. Amen. Hey, don't forget about Saturday. We'll be going to the Ryan's over at the Gardendale for a good fellowship. See, Paul, he got a deal for you. Ask him about it. He'll tell you about that deal that he has for us. But this Saturday, come on back Sunday morning. Got another great lesson, Book of James, great study. If you want a copy of the lesson to play in your car, your truck, see Brother John. He'll get you a copy of the lesson all day Sunday. Yes, John. John, class over here. I'm just joking. Okay, y'all calm down, y'all. Wait a minute. Yes. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yes. That's it. He know it too. He know it. And then Galatians 2:20, since you talk, I'm going to keep talking too. Galatians 2:20, he said, we got to crucify ourselves. See, you got to mortify yourself. See, that's what you do every day. See, we all have sin, amen. Yeah, perfect one in here, amen. And we all got troubles, amen. I don't care who you may be, how much scripture you may know, how much Bible. We in the world, folks. So therefore, sometimes you may have to do it two or three times a day. Sometimes you need to just pull back. See, it's like something happened Tuesday. Okay. I was a good friend of mine. I really was. You know, and I went somewhere. I went to the office where I went to do something. And he wasn't there. So I went on in because it's a special place where I kill. And I waited till he get there to turn it in. And before I even got there, he just started on me. Negative. Politely shut my folder, boom. Put everything back in it, boom. Walked out the door, boom. Mr. Lyles, come back here. Don't want to talk to you no more. Through with you today. Because I wasn't going. See, sometimes you got to run, folks. You got to get away from them. Now, that next, I ain't going to talk to him no more that day. The next day, he called me. He said, I want to apologize. I said, you gonna learn how to talk to folk right? See, I ain't coming. See, y'all might think I'm crazy. See, you can't let people get on you, man. You understand what I'm saying? See, because see, you don't. Satan will ride you. See, and I wasn't gonna let him steal my joy, Randy. Huh? Well, we'll talk about that a little later. And you're right, it is my fault. Come in, Dara, talk about it. A decision got to be made, but I won't make the decision. Okay, but see, you got to run sometimes. Because see, it ain't my will, it's God's will, amen. And see, I don't know what death is, amen. But see, I got abundant life, amen. And see, don't be afraid to run. See, cause for your own spirituality and for your growth spirit. See, because see, every time you get knocked down, you get knocked back two notches. You understand what I'm saying? It take you a little bit of time to overcome. If you ain't got nothing there, you might have never overcome. See what you did? Okay, but that's all right. All right. Any more announcements, favorite brother? Good to see Randy and Sadara. Thank you, Sadara, for taking care of Randy. Amen. And the children, everybody. Good to see everybody with us today. All right. Any more announcements, favorite brother? Favorite brother. Favorite brother. Ask Paul. Tell Paul. Paul, tell him. Okay, let's pray. Blessed Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank thee for all thy many blessings. And Father, we pray that you continue to be with each and every one of us. Thank you for letting us see Randy. Bless his life. Continue to heal his body. Thank you for Sadara, a help me that she is. And Father, not only Randy, but Brother Smith, continue to be with him and all the sick and the shut in. And we ask a special blessing for each family represented. And now as we depart and go our way, may the grace of God, sweet communion of saints, rest and abide with us till we can meet again. In Jesus' name we say together, amen. Y'all have a wonderful day, brethren.